As you know, we're studying on what I'm calling the science of the Christian life. And tonight, sometimes we use a lot of verses and teach a lot of Bible. Sometimes I just teach you a formula that I've used through these years in the Christian life. Tonight is the latter. I was going to teach on marriage, but since our marriage is gone on the rocks since Sunday, I believe I can salvage it before next week. You notice Ms. Howes is not here. And I'm hoping I can get everything ready so I can teach on marriage next Wednesday night. But I don't mean a marriage breaking up. It's on the rocks. We've been throwing rocks at each other all week. That's what I mean. But I'm going another route tonight. I'm going to talk on the subject how to discern right from right. How to discern right from right. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read several verses, and then I'm going to give you tonight a little exhortation, and I'll give you a little formula that I use on how to discern right from right. Proverbs chapter 4, starting with verse number 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 6. Here, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Those of the wicked are deceit. Now I'm going to be very lenient tonight and let you take some notes. But you'll only take what I tell you to take, or I'll beat the stuffings out of you. So you can get your piece of paper and get all ready. I'm going to give you actually just eight things to write down, and I'll just number them 1 through 8 and ask you to write them down. And then when we're not writing those, one of those eight things, I'd like for you to listen to me. It's not easy to tell right from wrong, but it's even more difficult to tell right from right. And tonight I want to talk to you on the science of discerning right from right. Our Heavenly Father, teach us the book, teach us the principles of it, and teach us how to live right. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, all the world has focused its attention on the state of Indiana, in Northwest Indiana, really, in the birth of Siamese twins. There were two babies born, connected, had one heart, I think, one pair of lungs, didn't they? And but anyway, one heart. And they had to choose because both of them could not live. So the parents had to choose whether which baby would live. And they carefully decided which had the best chance to live, realizing that whichever child they chose would be mean the death, the instant death of the other child. Now, they did not have a choice between right or wrong. They had a choice between right or right. Every single person in this room tonight faces this decision regularly. Not a choice between right and wrong, but a choice between right and right. This crowd tonight is a Wednesday night crowd. Several thousand people tonight in this big auditorium. You're the kind of people that right and wrong are obvious to you. You're not the kind of people that choose purposely to do wrong. If you do wrong, usually it's because you think you're doing right or you stumble and emotionally or passionately make a mistake. But all of us, I know every day of my life, and I mean this, every day of my life, I have to decide between one right thing to do and another right thing to do. Yesterday afternoon, I was in Tampa, Florida. Boy, it was hot down there. Good night, 93 degrees, and humidity was 240%. I had several things. Several people said, I need to talk to you. I need to see you. I had enough requests for people, as I do almost every Tuesday afternoon when I'm traveling. I have enough requests from people where if I had 10 hours between the time, about 2:30, I usually get through with the question and answer time. And about 6:30, when I go to church that night, I got about 4 hours. Now, that 4 hours includes time to eat. That's 3 hours. And it also it's a matter between right and right, folks. And but time to eat, and then time to call my office and see what problems must be solved, questions must be answered here, and then to give some instructions to Ms. McKinney to pass on to others. And also, I must have time to look over my sermon for the night. And so I probably have an hour and a half or 2 hours at the most that I can give to anybody. And always I have at least 10 hours of requests. Now, I've got to wade through that, and I've got to decide what I think is right. And there's some right things that I cannot do. I have to decide between right and right. Now, I live this way. Now, I'm going to give you tonight the 8 criteria that I use. These have been used for years and years and years and years. 8 criteria that I use. Now, I cannot tell you that yesterday afternoon I went through these 8 criteria. I will tell you that I went through at least one of them and probably 2 or 3 of them. But here are 8 things that I do to decide which is the right thing that I ought to do when I have a choice between right and right. Number 1, which is the commanded right? Which is the commanded right? Which is the commanded right? All right, when you write that down, look at me. There are some good things in the Bible that we're supposed to do and are good to do, but there's some things in the Bible that are commanded to do. For example, we're commanded to go soul winning. That's a command. No choice in that matter. We're commanded to pray. No choice. We're commanded to read the Bible. No choice in that matter. So, I do first which I'm commanded to do. Now, let me put it down your level. The other night, a Sunday night, a young man came to me, a college young man, a married man with children. And he said, Brother Hiles, now somebody's not going to, everything I say tonight will find somebody that won't agree with it. Because when you're talking about right, choosing right between right and right, then some people are going to think that one is right, some others. I'm not telling you what you ought to do. I'm telling you what I think and what criteria that I use. Young man came, he's married, has children. And he said, Brother Hiles, I have a job. I'm here, I'm going to college, I have a job. I work on the bus route. Now, he said, my boss is requiring me for a while to work on Saturday. Now, he said, Brother Hiles, what should I do? Should I work on Saturday and keep my job, support my family? Or should I quit my job, tell the boss I will not work on Saturday, take a chance of losing my job, and go ahead and work on the bus route? Now, there's no wrong there. There's no wrong at all. If he quits his job, works on the bus route, then that's right. If he supports his family and doesn't go on the bus route on Saturday, that also is right. Don't misunderstand me. If he had chosen to do that, that's a whole new ball game. But his boss said, you've got to, or he probably would lose his job. Now, the Bible is very plain about some things, but the Bible is not plain about whether you're supposed to work on a bus route on Saturday. I know churches, for example, have visitation on, say, a Thursday night and soul winning on Thursday night. And if you go soul winning on Thursday night, you're spiritual. If you don't, you're carnal. Now, you can go soul winning on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday and not go on Sunday and you're a backslider. Or not go on Thursday and you're a backslider. Or you can go on Thursday and not go on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, and you're spiritual. Now, the truth is, there's nothing in the Bible about going bus calling on a Saturday. I think you should if you have a bus route, and I'm not trying to hurt a fall program here. I think I just heard Brother Young faint, too. And Brother Moffat is angry if he's still awake. But I told the young man this. I said, son, I think you ought to, the Bible's plain, you're supposed to support your family. It's very plain. And you came to college to get an education, and to get that education, you've got to support your family. Now, if to keep your job, you've got to work on Sunday, I'd quit my job. If you've got to work on Saturday, I would not quit my job. Now, that's a matter of right and right. Now, how did I decide which was right of the two rights? I decide on the basis of what's commanded. The Bible commands a man to provide for his family. And the Bible does not command a person to go visiting on a Saturday. You can go on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or a Monday or a Sunday afternoon or doesn't matter. But I am saying, now, somebody will not agree with what I said. I'm not trying to tell you tonight what to choose. I'm trying to tell you the criteria that I use to choose. For example, a child is commanded to obey his parents. All right, then if you have a choice between obeying mom and dad and obeying the school teacher, you obey mom and dad. At no place in the Bible are you commanded to obey the school teacher. So if I were you, I wouldn't do it. This is good, isn't it, kids? No, I'm saying you ought to obey your school teacher. But if your school teacher gives you one command and your mother and dad give you another command, the Bible says obey your parents. The Bible does not say obey your... Now, it's right to obey your teacher. But it is commanded in the Bible to obey your parents. So the first thing that I use concerning discerning or the choosing between right and right is which is the commanded right. For example, I often say this. A lady comes to me, she says, my husband says I cannot go to church on Sunday or Wednesday night. And what should I do? Now, it's right to go to church, isn't it? It's also right to obey your husband, isn't it? But the Bible said that every soul be subject to the higher powers. And the highest power is God. All right, now, God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So, since Sunday is the day we assemble together, and the day the New Testament church assembled, the day that our Lord obviously chose, then you're supposed to go to church on Sunday. Is that right? All right, you're supposed to go. But the Bible does not say how many times you go to church on Sunday. So I said to her, I'd go to church one time on Sunday because you're commanded to do that. But you're not commanded how many times to go. Don't misunderstand me. Don't you lay out Sunday night. I'm saying you're supposed to go to church on Sunday night. You're supposed to go to church on Wednesday night. But when there is a choice between right and right, the Bible said obey your husband. The Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, much more as you see the day approaching. Now you have a choice between right and right. I always choose the commanded right over the right that is not the commanded right. Now I realize tonight I've already divided the crowd, and some of you said, Brother Howells, you don't agree with me on that. And that's okay, because I'm not teaching you tonight what decision to make. I'm teaching you how to make the decision. If your husband says don't go to church, you're not supposed to obey him because God says go to church. If your husband says don't go to church twice on Sunday, obey your husband because God does not say how many times you're supposed to go to church on Sunday. Now, I personally think that you can't be right with God, not be faithful to church, unless there's a conflict of what is right to do. All right, so the first one is, which is the commanded right? Say that. Which is the commanded right? What's number one? Which is the commanded right? Now, when I have a choice between right and right, number two is, which is God's chosen right? Which is God's chosen right? Now, that means, which is God's chosen right for me? What did God choose me to do in life? And does this right involve at all the thing that God has chosen me to do? Now, for example, listen to me now. You might learn something if you listen. I'm sure you know most everything more than I know. Some of you, especially college students, know more than I know. But you might hear something that you don't know or you've forgotten. Now, I'm saying a wife, for example, okay, her big calling in life is to be a wife. That's why God made Eve, was to be a helpmeet to Adam. Now, God made Adam to serve him and take care of the garden. He made Eve to take care of Adam. All right, that means if you have a choice between being a good wife and doing something else that's right, okay, it's right for a woman to be a good soul winner, and she ought to be a soul winner, and she's commanded to be a soul winner. But the first prerogative for a woman is to be a good wife. Now, you're supposed to do both because, as Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, duty is never conflict. But I'm saying, taking my case, for example, God called me to be a pastor. God has called me, and 27 years ago, the night before my 40th birthday, I made some decisions for the rest of my life. I decided that I was going to do what I could to save America. I don't mean to get America all converted. I mean to get enough people converted so God would not destroy America like he would have done for Sodom if Sodom had 10 people, 10 righteous people. So I decided to do what I could to save America. Number two, I decided to pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Number three, I decided to do what I could to stir soul winning across America and the building of soul winning churches across America. Now, when I have a choice between right and right, I look at the thing and say, is this inside the circumference of God's calling for my life? Now, sometimes I do some right that's not inside that circumference, but if I have a choice facing me, here are two things. Here's right to do, and here's right to do. Which right will I do? I've got to choose between right and right. I've got to discern between right and right. All right, then I choose the thing if one of those two is within the circumference of my calling. Okay, I get invitations every week. I mean that, either personally or by mail. Every week I get invitations to go overseas to preach. I got an invitation the other day for a big meeting in the South Pacific. I got a big invitation for a meeting in India. An invitation for a meeting in the Philippines, two or three for South America, one or two from Texas, and just want to see if you're listening. But what I do, I don't go overseas much. Never over once a year do I go to a foreign country to preach. Now, I'd love to go, but that's not within my main calling of life. Now, I'm for foreign missions, and it's right to go to foreign countries and preach the gospel. But now my calling, my basic calling, is America. So I spend my time going around America. If I've got a choice between preaching in America and preaching overseas, I choose America. I'd love to go to all of our, I'd love to go see the ministry there, Brother Long, you heard about tonight. I plan to go one of these years and preach a couple of days for Rick Martin. I'd love to see his work. I'd love to go down to Mexico City and see the work there. I'd love to go down. I'd love to go to our missionaries all over the world. But you see, when it becomes a choice between right and right, then I choose the right that was God's chosen right. I know a preacher right now who's pastor of a church, and he has had a choice between two right things. He's had a choice between being gone from his church all the time, pretty well 5 days a week, and do a lot of good, or stay there and pastor his church. Now, God has called him primarily to pastor that church. So his first calling should be to pastor that church. For example, did anything ever dawn on you? Did it ever dawn on you that I'm never gone from this church more than one whole day at a time? Never. I'm here half a day on Monday. I'm here more than a half a day on Wednesday. I got O'Harefield this morning. I was up at 3:30, caught a plane this morning bright and early, and it was O'Harefield by 8:30. I got to work by 10. Let's see, I got picked up at 9:15. I was working in the van by 9:15. I'll be working till late tonight. I'll work probably 10, 12 hours today. Now, it looks like I travel a lot, but I've never gone over one 24-hour period. Now, on occasion, I will go to the foreign field for a couple of days, but my traveling is basically, why? Because God's choice for me is to pastor First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And so I actually work in the pastoring of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana over 70 hours a week. Now, for example, I never prepare a new sermon to preach somewhere where I travel. Never do. I warm one over. I hope I can heat one over, but sometimes I cool one over. But I always prepare something new here. Always do. Why? This is my calling. If I have a choice between preparing a new sermon for traveling, that's right. If I have a choice preparing a new sermon here, then that's also right. But I've got to choose which right. Shall I be fresh around the country? And shall I give the country something new? Or shall I be fresh here? I have no choice. I have a choice in the matter between right and right. So I choose the right within my calling. So which is God's chosen right? All right, number one was, which is the commanded right? Number two was, which is God's chosen right? You can write those down if you haven't written them down yet. One, which is the commanded right? And two, which is God's chosen right? All right, what's number one? Which is the what? Which is the commanded right? Number two, which is God's chosen right? Now you figure out why you're here on this world, on this earth. You figure out why God put you here. And for example, suppose you women have a choice. Suppose your husband wants to take you out to eat, but you got the children. See? So you can call some lady and have a babysitter, but you can't call that lady and have her a husband sitter. It's just not a good idea, ladies. So I'm saying, what did God make you for? First, be a mother? No, be a wife. You might be the best mother in the world. If you're a poor wife, you're a failure. Because the purpose of your life is to be a wife. Now, if you have a choice between the right of wifely responsibilities and the right of mother responsibilities, then your first choice should be the choice for which God made you. And that's which is his chosen right. Number three. Which is the most emphasized right? These are things I use. Have it written down in my office right now. I've been there for a long time. Used it for years. Which is the commanded right? Which is God's chosen right? Which is the most emphasized right? Suppose I have two right things I can do, but neither is commanded as to when I do them. In other words, God says, oh, I'm supposed to go to church on Sunday. God says I'm supposed to bring the tithe to the church on Sunday. That's God's command. That's very plain. But God says many things you're supposed to do, but doesn't tell you when to do them. All right, now, in that case, I choose which is the most commanded one. For example, soul winning is the most commanded thing in all the Bible. It's the thing that God tells you to do before he tells you to pray. It's the thing that God tells you to do before God tells you to read the Bible. Soul winning is the most commanded thing in the Bible. All right, so if I have a choice between studying and soul winning, though I have scheduled for both, but if all of a sudden it comes where I have a choice between those two, I choose the most commanded right, because emphasized right in the Bible, because God emphasizes soul winning in the Bible more than he emphasizes prayer or Bible study. Don't misunderstand me. You'll never have to choose to be a soul winner and not pray. You'll never have to choose between being a soul winner and not reading the Bible. But you may have to choose in any given time what you're supposed to do. So I choose that which is the most emphasized right. All right, number one, which is what? Talk to me, which is the commanded right. Number two, which is God's chosen right. Number three, which is the most emphasized right. Let's say it again. First is which is commanded right. Second, which is God's chosen right. And third is the most emphasized right. Number four, which is the most helpful right? Which is the most helpful right? Now, usually before I get to this one, I've already made up my mind. By the time it passes, which is the commanded right? Which is God's chosen right? Which is the most emphasized right? Usually by that time, I've got my decision made. But now this one, which is the most helpful right? Let's go back to yesterday afternoon. Six different people said, I need to see you this afternoon. Well, I'm only one person. Brother Keith is more than one, but actually, he's a Siamese twin. You didn't know that. He has one heart. It's real small. But I'm only one person. And I had six different people yesterday afternoon needed to take my time. Now, how did I choose? One most important? I've turned down Dr. Lee Robertson before on a Tuesday afternoon because some preacher's having trouble and had to have help. And I've seen the little preacher out in the country had to have trouble because he had to have help or he's going to lose his church, and told Dr. Robertson I was tied up. After that, he found out it did it. He tied me up. But that was funny. We should have heard that. But I'm saying that which is the most helpful? Right. So yesterday afternoon, I had to decide, now, who needs my help the most? Which of these six people that said, I've got to see you, but all six of them couldn't see me, I could only see one of them and give them the time that he needed, I've got to decide which is most helpful. Now listen carefully, I'll tell you something else. An illustration that I think is apropos here. It was registration time. I had some time I could spend during the first week or two of school. Now, there are many right things I could do. There are many things at each of the schools. I could have gone down to the bus kid school here, and I could have given a day or so down there. I could have gone to Hammond Baptist schools and given a day or so down there. Now, how? I've got some right things. What right will I do? All right, now follow me carefully. I realized that we had hundreds of young people coming from all over America who were going to be homesick as all get out when they got here. Brand new students. I realized that our Hammond Baptist students, now a lot of you are not going to agree with this. It doesn't matter if you do or not. I'm going to do what I think is right anyway. But I'd rather for you to be right and agree with me, which is synonymous. But I got thinking, okay, now the Hammond Baptist kids are going to drive a few miles to school. They're going to go home for dinner at night. They're going to sleep in their own bed that night. They're going to be with their own moms and dads. Now here are hundreds of 18, 19-year-old young people who are away from home for the first time. They're in the Chicago area. They've never been here before. They're in a new college. They don't know what room they're going to sleep in tonight. They don't have their dormitory room yet. They don't know who's going to be in that room tonight. They don't know who the roommates are. And they've never been to our church before, many of them, and they're new in our college. Now, I had all these rights. Now, I chose the right that I thought would be the most helpful. And I think I chose the right one. I chose to go out and greet all the new students in Howells Anderson College and have my picture made with them. Now, I did that not because that's what I wanted to do. I did that because I had a choice between right and right, and I chose what I thought was the right that was the most helpful. See, and I'll get to this after a while, so I'll wait for that. But I'm simply saying that's the fourth criterion which I choose. The right, which is the most helpful right. All right, first right, I choose the what? Talk to me, anybody home, I choose the what? Commanded right. Second, I choose the God's what? Chosen right, his choice for my life. Third, I choose the most what? Emphasized right. The one that's emphasized most in the Bible. And fourth, which is the most what? Helpful right. Number five, which is the right that can only be done by me? Which is the right that can only be done by me? Again, I use these things over and over and over again, have for many years. A formula that I've tried to live by. Which is the right that can be done only by me? Now, when I say only, I'm talking about that nobody could do it particularly, I think, near as effectively as I could do it. Now, there's some things that somebody else could do as well as I could, or better. For example, the church got big, and big, and bigger, and bigger, and bigger. It got to where that it would take one man full-time just to go to hospitals, see the sick folks. Up until that time, I visited all the sick people. I visited all the hospitals. There was a day when I went to St. Margaret's Hospital every day. And then it got to where I had to go to Passavant Hospital and Wesley Hospital in Chicago, and I had to go to South Bend Hospital, and I had to go to Crown Point Hospital, and I had to go to the Gary Hospitals, and I had to go to the Maryville Hospital, and I had to go to St. James Hospital over in Chicago Heights, and then over in Harvey Memorial Hospital in Harvey. Now, I looked at this thing, and I said, now, what? I've got to give up some things. The church is getting huge. People need to see me. I was seeing over 100 people at that time every single week in my office for advice or counsel. There's too much to do for one man. I couldn't do it. It's not a matter they didn't want to, but I got to quit something. All right, now ask the question. I looked at these men on the platform, and I said, can any of these men counsel as well as I can? I looked at Brother O'Claire, and I said, my soul, no. I looked at Brother Jeff Young. I said, a young whippersnapper like that hadn't got any sense. I looked at Brother Keith McKinney. I didn't look at Roy Moffitt. Didn't even consider it. No. But I went down the line. And honestly, I said, okay, which of these things can I do more better? Is that good English? It is now. Which of these things can I do? Yeah, in the way I'm saying it is better. It's okay. More better. And not just better, but the most better. That's okay. Look, folks, I'm a college chancellor. I don't obey English grammar. I make English grammar. I create it. Now, wait a minute. I looked at these men again. Let's see about hospital visitation. Something's got to go. I've got to choose between right and right. Is it right to counsel? Yes, it is. Is it right to visit hospitals? Yes, it is. All right. I looked at these men. I saw this man right here. And I said, I believe John Colston can do nearly as good a job. Now he does a better job, but he can do nearly as good a job then as I can do visiting hospitals. So I had counseling over here, hospitals over here, sick folks over here, counseling over here. Now it was like having major surgery. I cried and cried and cried because I did not want to give you the one. But I've got to choose the one where I am most needed. For example, not a one of these men could keep this big thing afloat here organizationally. I recall I was walking in the hallway and Brother Fisk was talking. Was it you, Roy? Brother John, was it you? Talking to Brother John. One day Brother Fisk was here at the time and they were talking there, and I had a huge stack of papers in my arms I was carrying to my office. And I said, what are you guys talking about? And Brother Fisk said, we're talking about taking this place over. And I just took all those papers and threw them. And I said, good, here they are. He said, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now, somebody's got to keep this big monster moving around here. Somebody's got to pay the bills. Somebody's got to see that everything's moving. Somebody's got to administrate. Somebody's got to be, pardon the term, but somebody's got to be the CEO. Somebody's got to do it. I don't like to do it. I'd rather go to hospitals. I'd rather visit the sick. But somebody's got to do it. So here is a right here. And right here, I've got to choose according to my formula which right I'm going to decide to choose. So one is, this one is, which is the right that only can be done by me. For example, there was a day for a while when I had the youth ministry here. I had the youth activities back in the days when we had a good youth program. I planned all the youth activities. There was a day here when I was in charge of all the buses. There was a day in Garland, Texas, when I was the choir director. Now, I had to face the thing that Brother Bordway could not do as good a job as I can, but he can come close enough to do a good job in the choir. You don't believe me, do you? It hurts me when you doubt me like this. But I had to come to the place where I realized that I was needed more counseling and needed more administratively than I was in the youth department, or than I was in the buses, or than I was in Garland leading the choir. Now, when I led the choir, we didn't have a good choir. We didn't sing on key, but we sure were organized. We stood together. We held those books together. We were a green beret, except one little problem: we couldn't sing. But now those are choices I've got to make. Now you have the same thing. Look, what criteria you use is not my issue. The issue that I'm making is that you ought not to just choose the thing you want to do or like the most or enjoy the most. There ought to be some reason when you have right here and right here that you have intelligently decided what criteria you're going to use to choose which right to do, which right not to do. Number 6. I will not choose that which is the most enjoyable right. Not which is the most enjoyable right. Not which is the most enjoyable right. If I had done that, I'd have chosen the sick folks. That's a lot more enjoyable than trying to keep you pastors. It's a lot more enjoyable than trying to keep the bills paid. It's a lot more enjoyable than administrating. It's a lot more enjoyable than being the executive officer or something. A lot more enjoyable. But I will not choose that which is the most enjoyable right. Number 1 is what? Which is the what? Commanded right. Number 2, which is God's chosen right. Number 3, which is the what? Emphasized right, most emphasized right. 4, which is the most helpful right. And 5th is which is the right that can only be done by me. And 6 is not which is the most enjoyable right. Now follow me carefully. I believe in having fun. I believe in recreation. I believe in pleasure. But I don't believe in pleasure for pleasure's sake. I believe in pleasure for diversion's sake, if it can help me do what I'm supposed to do better, or more better, or most better, or mucho better. I'm saying, now I've got a Bible that says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is that right? All right. Then that means I'm not supposed to play ball when I want to play ball. Is that right? You're not with me now, are you? You just got off a streetcar, didn't you? But that's what it says, isn't it? Whatsoever you do. Is that right? Is whatsoever include eating? Yeah. Yes or no? Is whatsoever include sleeping? Yes or no? Is whatsoever include playing ball? Talk to me. Yes or no? Is whatsoever include playing golf? Yeah. Is whatsoever include fishing? All right. Then I'm only supposed to fish or play golf or play ball or eat or drink to the glory of God. Is that right? All right. Then I must not choose. Now, is it right to play ball? Sure. Is it right to play golf? Sure. Is it right to fish? Sure. Is it right to go hunting? Let me think about that for a while. No way I could kill a deer. No way. I'd like to kill a deacon or two. Okay. But I'm saying that I've got to choose here between some things that are right to do and other things that are right to do. Okay. I must not choose the right, which is the most enjoyable right. I must not choose the right that will give me the most pleasure. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this. When you decide that you'll only have pleasure when you need to have pleasure so you can serve God better, then you've gotten the purpose of pleasure. One of our young men came to me not long ago in a senior appointment within the last 3 years. And I said, what are your plans for the future? He said, I want to be a professional baseball player. And I said, God's not in that. God's not in that. God never intended for anybody to make a living hitting the ball with a stick, especially millions of dollars a year. Now, it disgusts me. I'm saying that you have no right. I have no right. According to the Bible, whatsoever you do, whatsoever means whatsoever, doesn't it? It means ain't nothing. It doesn't include, right? All right. Then, if you take a day off or take a vacation, are you supposed to do that for the glory of God? Now, we're talking about an advanced lesson here tonight. But I'm saying if the Bible's true, and the Bible is true, it says whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, that means if I'm weary and I can't serve God as well, I have to have a little time of relaxation, and I choose to go play ball, or I choose to go play golf, which I don't do either one, but if I choose to go go play ball or play golf, and I say I believe I can serve God better if I did it, and I need to do it so I can serve God better, that's okay. But I will not choose my right on what's the most pleasurable for me. I'll tell you something else too. If you don't choose it that way, but you choose what is right to the glory of God, I promise you it'll give you more pleasure in the long run than you seeking your own pleasure. Now you listen to me carefully. I'm in a motel room. I've worked as I did Monday night to 1:15 in the morning. I finished my last bit of work at 1:15 Tuesday morning. Last night, I finished my last piece of work at 12:30. My alarm was set for 3:30 this morning to get up. I slept 3 hours last night. Now, let's suppose I'm in my room on a Tuesday afternoon like yesterday, and I say, my mind's a little weary. My mind is not as clear as it ought to be. And that's what happened last night. I'd stayed awake till 1:15, gotten up early Tuesday morning. I had preached on Tuesday morning. I had a question, and I'd spoken again Tuesday afternoon at the luncheon. Had a question and answer session after that. That's three sessions. I'd spent a couple of hours with the person felt like needed me the most. I got back to the room at 5:00. Now, what will I do? Will I work? And I said, I do not believe I can preach like I ought to preach tonight unless I have some diversion. So I took a walk. Got me a beer and some pretzels and to the glory of God. The Bible does say whether you drink. But I took a walk. Now, it was only about a 30-minute walk. Then I came back and I stopped in the little motel lobby there, La Quinta Inn, stopped in the lobby there, and they had some coffee and tea and orange juice, and so I sat down. I bought me a newspaper for 15 minutes. I sat there, read the sport page, drank some juice, and they had a little brownie cookie there, and I ate the brownie cookie, and then to the door of God, I ate another brownie cookie, and then to the door of God, I ate another brownie cookie. I haven't glorified God so much in a long time as I did yesterday afternoon. Now, you said, "Brother House, did you sit down and say, I'd like to take a walk?" No, I didn't say that. I said, if I preach like I ought to tonight, I believe I've got to get my mind off what I'm doing. You see? Now, folks, God's people are supposed to live for God. And that means your life is supposed to be sold out to God. So, I'll not choose that which is the most enjoyable right. Number 7. Not that which is the most pressured right. Not that which is the most pressured right. These are things I've used for many years. I may not make the right decisions, but I'm sincere in trying to use the criteria which is right. Now, I'm constantly pressured. Constantly. There's not a week of my life that somebody doesn't get upset with me because I don't choose to do what they thought I ought to choose to do. I can't do everything. I can't. So I've got to choose between right and right. But I will not choose right, the right that I'm pressured the most to do, nor will I choose the right that'll keep folks from getting mad at me if I don't choose what they pressure me to do. I refuse to do that. I will not be pressured. You see, hear me carefully. Obligated responsibility never pressures you. The little rights pressure you. The little rights plead for you. The little rights storm you. The big rights never do. I've said it many times. Many times. Around the country, 90% of the people that want to see me are people that they have no big reason to see me. And they're the ones that say, "I got to see you, 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 got to see you." I choose the ones that I think on these other criteria, but not which is the most pressured right. Now I've got to hurry. Number 8, which is the scheduled right. I'm going to stay here a while. Which is the scheduled right. Now don't get mad at me. Everybody here getting a good mood now. I love you. Do you love me? You don't love me. That proves it. I get in a good mood now. If the members of the choir, if their Sunday school class has a party on Thursday night, I would choose choir practice. Because it's scheduled. It's the scheduled right. If a weekly soul-winning ministry of our church, have a choice between a weekly soul-winning ministry of our church and something that is not a regularly scheduled meeting at that time, I choose the weekly soul-winning ministry. I choose the scheduled right. I said often, choose the scheduled right. The regular weekly activity versus the irregular one. For example, Wednesday night is church night. That's scheduled. And so that's where I go. Sunday morning and Sunday night, that's scheduled. I don't believe a Christian ought to travel on Sunday and miss church. I think it's wrong, a sin, if you do. We have a standing rule. Some of our students, somebody comes in here and they want us to meet them at the airport. If it causes our folks to miss church, we won't let them go. Let them sit out to the airport, wait till church is over, and we'll send somebody to get them. Rather them set the airport unmet than us not be in church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. That's scheduled. Now, there may be something more exciting that's not scheduled. Hear me carefully now. Listen carefully. If we don't watch it, we'll teach our young people a false set of priorities. And we should be very careful that we do not provide our children here, or our adults here for that matter, opportunities where we encourage them to choose the unscheduled over the scheduled. You heard me talk again and again about when I was a kid, we played the championship ball game, and they're playing on Sunday night. I went to church. And they said to me, "But Jack, we have church 52 weeks a year. Only one time we play a championship ball game." Doesn't matter. The schedule goes before the unscheduled. See, the regular routine is the first. Nothing over the church services. Now, I'm not concerned whether you take these eight things or not and do them. I am concerned that you intelligently and spiritually and with character make the decisions between right and right. Not many of you are going to make a decision tomorrow whether to smoke a cigarette or not. Not many of you will make a decision this week whether to take a drink or not. I did yesterday afternoon, of course, but most of you will not, because you won't be as tired as I was. Now, folks, if you're visiting, I did not take a beer yesterday afternoon. I did not. A little tiny martini, but no beer at all. And I was invigorated for the service last night. But now, wait a minute. Life, the success or failure of you preacher boys, hear me carefully now, in the ministry will not be your choosing between right and wrong. The success or failure will be whether you choose right or right. The success that you women are as wives, and I use you women more than men because that is your basic responsibility, but your success as a wife will not be determined on choosing between right and wrong. It'll be determined by your choosing between right and right. I believe with all of my heart that one of the great keys to what little success I've had as a preacher is I've tried to earnestly and sincerely choose the right and not the less right. And say wrong right, but not the least or less right. And the more right you do, the more things folks are going to want you to do. For example, I have been asked to lead everything. I've got an appointment on my desk right now. And I have a request for an appointment for the mayor of the city of Hammond. He wants an appointment with me, and I'm trying to work out some time when I can see him. And he's been waiting for a couple of weeks. But I'm not going to choose the appointment with the mayor of Hammond. Now listen carefully. If he wants to see me when I'm counseling with somebody about a marital problem, he won't see me. I promise you this. When Ronald Reagan came through this area running for the President of the United States, they called and asked me if I would be his host while he was in the Calumet region. I had appointments that I thought were more important than hosting the future President of the United States. And I chose the right rather than the less right. And I didn't do it. Same thing happened when Richard Nixon was running for president. Same thing happened one year when Carter was running for president. Carter. That, I didn't do it. That's a matter between right and wrong. But now, wait a minute. You understand? You don't understand the demands that have been on my time through these years. Many a church has died because the pastor chose to do right in joining the moral majority instead of doing more right in building his church. I could call the names of three of our graduates, Howells, Anderson College, right now, whose churches that were destroyed because they did not choose the right. I've been asked to lead. I can tell you another one of our former staff members here, not at the church, but at the schools. Built a great church. I mean a great church. And then was asked to lead the queer rights, anti-queer rights ordinance campaign in his town. He chose to do it. Now that's right. But that was not within God's choosing for him. God chose. And he got wrapped up in fighting the queers, and his church went down. He finally left the church. Church went down from 600-700 in Sunday school, less than 200 in Sunday school, I heard. Now, what was it? He chose right. But he didn't choose right over wrong. He chose the least right over the most right. The success or failure of anybody's life who's a Christian and a dedicated Christian will be determined by what I've taught tonight. Most of you will not face right or wrong tomorrow. You will face right or right. All these years, I've had these eight criteria, which is the most, number one, what? What's the first one? The what? Commanded right. Number two, which is the chosen right. Number three, which is the most emphasized right. Number four, which is the most helpful right. Number five, which is the right that can only be done by me. Number six, not which is the most enjoyable right. Number seven, not which is the most pressured right. And number eight, which is the scheduled right. Your choice between right and right will not determine whether you succeed or fail in life, but the degree of your success in life. The difference, hear me carefully now, the difference in Dr. Lee Robertson and thousands of preachers across America is not in their preaching. I believe that there are dozens of them can out-preach him. I really believe that. And there are hundreds can out-preach me, but there are dozens can out-preach Lee Robertson. The difference is not the preaching. The difference is in their willingness and their ability to discern right from right. I love fellowship. I love to have fun. I love to cut up. Brother Young will tell you this. We were in Denver, Colorado. Fundamentalist conference meeting. After the service, they had a nice hospitality room for the guest speakers. You went by there. You knew it was there, though. Yeah, and he had his wife with him, which was, he chose the lesser right on who to take with him. And now, I don't eat after the service. I don't go out and eat after the service and stay up to all hours of the morning. I go back to my room and I work. It's my policy. Now, I'd rather go out to eat. They brought me over in that room. Beautiful. Oh, my soul. Gorgeous room. And the best preachers in America were there. And they weren't sinning and they weren't making a bad choice. They don't pastor a church this size. They don't have all the responsibilities I have. They don't do all the things I have to do. I walked over and they said, Brother Hiles, get your plate. I said, I just came over to say hi. And the dearest preacher friends I have on the face of the earth were sitting there to have a good time with each other. And I went to my room. Now, would it have been wrong to stay there? No. And it was even a right choice for them because they don't have the responsibilities I have. And it had been a right choice for me. And I had to choose between right and right. And I do that everywhere I go. Down in Florida. And I'll close with this. Down in Florida this week, I happened to preach in Pinellas Park, Florida. Our son, Dave, and his family are members of that church. And very faithful members. He goes soul winning with a pastor twice a week. And they're very faithful members of that church. And I'm proud of them. They happen to have three of our grandchildren. Now, I don't give a flip about seeing Dave or Brenda, but I sure would like to see those grandkids. It's Monday night. I have not seen the grandchildren. I walk in the church. They're sitting in the church. I see them in church. It's time to go back to my room. Now I've got a choice to make. I've got a choice. I've got work up to here. What'll I do? Take my grandkids out to eat or go to my room? I went to my room and I worked after I cried just a few minutes. Now, I saw them some the next day. Now, some of you won't agree with this. I'm not asking you to agree. I'm asking you to live your life on purpose. That's all. You decide your own criteria. I'll decide mine. You keep your nose out of mine. I'll keep my nose out of yours. I will tell you what my criteria are. You choose them or not. But I will tell you that you're stupid if you don't have a criteria on which you intelligently and spiritually base your choice between right and right. Now, you may think that I should have taken the grandkids out to eat. I thought I chose the right of the two rights. Now, you may not agree with that. That's not the issue. The issue is base it on a predetermined formula and live your life that way. Shall we stand, please?